So welcome, Resurrection Sunday. Victory, eh? Victory Sunday. Victory. Welcome. For those who was here Good Friday, please put your hand up. Okay, so probably the poem at the start would have made more sense to them than others that might have just come along today. On Sunday, the prayer was on the screen that it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So one was written that Sunday's come, Sunday's here, Sunday's come. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this or not, but Simon, can you just go to the last slide? He who will be last will be first. So this, I was maybe going to talk about this at the end, but I feel now. And there's going to be another poem written, and one of you might write it, I'm not sure, but that Sunday's come and Pentecost is on its way. That's the next 50 days. So on the 28th of May, it's Pentecost Sunday, and I've just sensed that the next 50 days at Hillside are going to be awesome, yeah? And you're going to make it awesome, yeah? So it's not a special event. I just worked out that it's 50 days. It's the 28th. So I just want to start speaking into that because I think, I think it could be a good 50 days. Well, I know it's going to be a good 50 days at Hillside with a poem that Sunday's come, Pentecost is on its way. So we'll go back to the order of proceedings. So we'll just pray if we can. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that it is a day of victory. It is Resurrection Sunday. And Lord, through this we have life and life everlasting. And that should give us inexpressible joy. So Lord, we just pray that the words that come today would speak to your people, to your sheep, and that we would take them to heart, Lord. And we would be encouraged today through your word. In Jesus' name. Sunday has come. So Kyla gave us a great message on Good Friday. Just a quick wrap. I know you don't want too much of a history lesson this morning, but for some of these things may be the first time you've heard them. Christ was crucified. I'm paraphrasing some of what Kyla brought. Christ was crucified, the Messiah, their promised one. Their hopes were dashed. So disciples and the believers, confusion reigned. They'd laid their lives down, they'd left their nets, they'd left their employment, they'd left their life behind. And she said a quote, well, I quote her, she said, fear had overtaken faith. And in a sense, it looked like the ministry was an absolute failure. If your church had sent you, there would have been a note home saying, sorry, it failed, the leader's dead, it's all over. And maybe they thought the words, it is finished, or to tell us I, referred to that it's all over. It would have been hard to see any victory there, yeah? But God had other plans. God is always working. You can do the next slide if you like. Simon? God had other plans. He is always working. Your life today might currently look like a train wreck. It might be a train wreck indeed. You might be off the rails. God has other plans for you. I want to bring some hope today and some good news. Jesus' earthly ministry and assignment had indeed finished. Tetelestai. Am I saying that right? That's the Greek word for it is finished that Kyla brought us Friday. There we go. I didn't plan to have that up there. Simon, you're on the job. But there was now a spiritual work to complete behind the scenes. Now, there's a lot of theories. I'm not going to go into them all about where Jesus went once he gave up his spirit, when he said, it is finished. He said himself that the Son of Man must descend into the heart of the earth like Jonah. 1 Peter tells us that he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits and the gospel was preached even to those that are now dead. And Ephesians tells he also descended to the lower earthly regions. Many good theologians disagree on all of that. Either way, Jesus claimed the keys of death and Hades, yeah? However he did that, glory of God to conceal a matter, glory of kings to search it out, as you said this morning, Alison. So we'll let the kings search that out and argue about it. We're going to get on in the mission we have at hand. So I want to just propose to you a new theology this morning, just briefly. I'd like to propose that Jesus went to the bank. He had a signed check, signed by I Am, by the great I Am. And he went and cashed it at the Intergalactic Storehouse Bank. And it's like a winning lotto ticket. You can win lotto. You can have the ticket. Not that I'd say that's a good thing, but you might buy a ticket here and there. But you might have a winning lotto ticket. He had a signed check and he went and redeemed it. He went and cashed it in at the bank. He had legally, fully fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. Satan could do nothing. He was powerless. He was plundered. Jesus now had all authority, even over death. That's good news. Yeah? Satan could do nothing. So meanwhile, back on the earthly realm, what does all this mean? What are the implications? Why such a big deal? I just want to consider a couple of perspectives this morning that might help us. Peter, the apostle, the great apostle, he was gutted. He denied Christ 3 times. He never even went to the cross after saying he would go to death for him. He walked on water. The revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, came from Peter's mouth, inspired by God. He witnessed the miracles. He saw the resurrection of Lazarus. He saw it all. Do you ever think that he might have just pondered briefly that maybe it was him that betrayed Jesus? I reckon that would have, that if it was me, that would have gone through my mind. Maybe, you know, Judas did, but maybe it was me as well. So today, do you ever feel like you've let him down? Even today on Resurrection Sunday, have you ever denied him? Been embarrassed to speak up when others are talking trash about him or about the church when you know you should have? So maybe your Sunday has come. Maybe today is your Sunday to just make it right. It's forgotten. It's paid for. Jesus has gone to the bank and cashed your check. It is finished. To tell us I. And I think Scripture gives us just a little hint of Peter's demeanor, that when I believe the angel spoke to Salome and the two Marys, it was when the angel appeared. Mary sent word to the disciples, that's right. In one of the Gospels, she sent word. And Peter came second to the tomb. John beat him. And as I read that, I was going to write that he was first. You know, he got to the tomb. But no, I reread it, thankfully. Do you reckon that Peter would have come second a week before? Or even after that? No way in the world. Not Peter. Cut off the servant's ear. Got out of the boat. Just shows you his demeanor. He was just holding back a bit because he wasn't sure, because he'd let his God down. Do you feel, or have you ever felt like you've let your God down? I certainly have, many times. And there was one sentence in Scripture that I believe sparked a fire, a flame in Peter. It's in Mark 16:7, an angel, a messenger, that said to Salome and the two Marys, to tell the disciples and Peter to go ahead into, I think, Jerusalem it was. Oh, there we go. Including Peter. Let that encourage you today. How do you think that, what do you think that did for Peter's psyche? And he would have said, did he really say and Peter? Let that encourage you today. So today, tell the church at Hillside and Allison and Isaac, and Dave, and Lance, and Tim, and Helen, and Dave, and Chris, and everyone here, that I love you, that I died and took your place, that nothing you can do will make me love you more or make you love me less. I've risen. You share in that victory. Mary Magdalene was so close to Jesus. She helped fund the ministry. She was a woman of means. One of the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. She'd been delivered of seven demons. Do you think she ever wondered if they might return? If I was her, I would have. Jesus is gone. It's all over. Are they going to return? Am I going to return to my former state? I know if you've anything to do with drugs, that's always a worry. Or alcohol or anything that might hinder you. Am I going to go back? Am I going to go back? Slide back. Is this your Sunday today? She was the first and blessed to see, the first to see the risen Christ or the risen Lord, and the first to share the good news. Indeed, the first evangelist. And she was a woman. Thank God for faithful women in the church. Because coming from the country, I know a lot of those country churches would not be open if it weren't for faithful women. And as news of his resurrection started to slowly be revealed, probably quickly, but in those, by our standards, slowly, because they had to run places. It wasn't on Facebook, it wasn't on Instagram, it wasn't on Snapchat or all those other wonderful things. Faith started to overtake fear again. Can you remember a time when your faith arose and fear subsided? I saw it last week at the baptisms. Maybe that's not yet your experience, but maybe today your Sunday has come. I saw fear subside last Sunday. I saw a young man stand up the front that didn't want to get up the front, A. B, he didn't want to say anything. But he came alongside and he was standing alongside you, Joshua. And you just led by example and he watched you. He was worried about his tattoos on one arm and he's standing next to you, man. But he watched you. I watched him watch you. And as you even grew in faith, as you went and got your testimony that you weren't planning to read, he was encouraged. And he spoke. And he spoke beautifully. That's what church should be about. Let us encourage each other. So as it went on, faith smashed fear. Joy, hope, faith, love exploded as hearts and minds were open and all that Jesus had said started to be revealed. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was indeed finished, to Telesai. Their Sunday had come. So if we just fast forward to our perspective, we all like sheep have gone astray. All of us, Scripture says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. If we say we're out without sin, we deceive ourselves. We don't even have to get the enemy involved. If we say we're without sin, we deceive ourselves, but we're not sinners. What does this mean for us? You can go to the next slide, I believe, Ephesians 1. And I think this may have been read this morning. But I just want to cut to the bit. Talks about our glorious inheritance in the saints. And his incomparably great power. It's not just great power, it's incomparably great power. For us, you and me, we who believe. And that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Now, we share in that as believers today. It's very good news. I thought you'd be a little bit more excited. It's unbelievable news, but we believe, yeah? And that's all you have to do is believe on Jesus and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. And one of the greatest, well, they're all great scriptures, but this is a pretty good one. It's probably in the top 10. And I'm just going to paraphrase this roughly. You can go to the next one. But the same spirit, no, I didn't. I paraphrased it already. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you as a believer. If you're not a believer, today might be your Sunday. There'll be an opportunity at the end. And there certainly will be an opportunity to Not so much recommit, but just refocus yourself. The same Spirit lives, raised Christ from the dead, lives in you. Do you believe that? If we truly believe that, if I truly believe that, our lives are going to look different. This church will look different. And we're going to keep talking about it. The work's been done. Okay, just to finish up, I just want to bring some take-home points for us. Number one, what does it mean to us? What does this mean? What does this risen Lord mean to us? It means our sins are forgiven. We have salvation. And indeed, if Christ hasn't been raised, our faith is futile and we're still in our sins and we don't want to be there. And I'm telling you today, we're not there because we share in his resurrection and his life. John 3:16 says, "So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have eternal life." Is it your Sunday today? Point number two, it affirms our baptism. We had some baptisms last week. There's no mistake, they were last Sunday. And there's no mistake, there's going to be more. And I'm believing for some on Pentecost Sunday. Haven't run that by the elders and staff and pastors yet, but it may be a good day to do it. It affirms our baptism. Can't read that bottom. What's that? It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have died with Christ to your old self. All things have become new. You've been cleansed and raised to life as you come out of that water. Your baptism has been cleared and hallmarked by the bank. Jesus went to the bank. It's genuine. And just a side note, if Jesus hadn't have risen from the dead, our baptisms would actually become drownings because you wouldn't be pulled back out of the water. You'd go down, but you wouldn't come up. And it's not a good strategy for church growth. The third point gives certainty to our faith. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." These are scriptures for you today. Is this your Sunday? Sunday has come. It authenticates Jesus. All he taught, said and did are yes and amen. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only way to the Father. We know we can't earn it. If you think you can, you can't. It's the only way. Resurrection life, both here and for the future. He rose from the dead. Gives substance to our hope. The kingdom of God is now within you. The Holy Spirit now resides within you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hebrews 12:28 says we inherit a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Devin's scripture this morning, 1 Peter. Oh, sorry, that was the Hebrews one, I think. Devin, wasn't it? No, 1 Peter. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. A bright future. Couple more. Number four, death has no power over us. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's been swallowed up in victory. This is easy to say, a little bit harder to do, but we have no need to fear death because we have such a bright future. Scripture says, it says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, we don't want to go around dying, but it's going to happen to all of us. And is this your Sunday? Because anything could happen tomorrow, the next day, or the day after. Have you put God on hold? Have you put a commitment to him on hold? Or are you a long time ago committed to him, but you've just put things on hold a bit? Is today your Sunday? And the last point is boldness. There's probably a couple of scriptures there. That first one, Hebrews 4:16, we can come before the throne of grace boldly, as children do. Any of these kids want something from their mother or father, and I see it all through church, and it used to happen to us, they'd just come up, no matter what's going on, I want a lolly, or I want something to eat. They're bold. That's the kind of boldness that he's looking for. And if you read the rest of that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. Are you in a time of need today? Most of us are in some way, shape or form. Come before the throne of grace boldly. He knows what you've done. He knows what you did last night and last week and maybe even this morning. Come before him boldly. And that wonderful scripture out of Timothy, that we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? And we can come before him boldly because there was a wonderful message here a couple of weeks ago about righteousness, that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We can stand right before God. If you're a born-again believer, you stand right before God. He looks at you, he sees Jesus. I can't get my head around that. We share the victory. We have authority that we almost know nothing of, and we're going to tap into that in the days to come. It's not to get necessarily what we want, but what he wants through us and for his purposes. We're co-heirs with Christ. We are sons and daughters of the living God. You are a son or a daughter of the living God, if you believe. This is all victory, 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 victory. And those wonder scriptures that I mentioned the other week about that message of righteousness should give us boldness. Just to name a few, greater is he in me than he is of the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You should know these. We're overcomers, we're more than conquerors. We don't just conquer things, we're more than conquerors. We're seated in heavenly places. We sit with Christ in heavenly places. So let us get a different perspective on our situation and our lives. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Maybe we should start using it. And I don't mean that condemning. I mean that and this revelation should give us boldness to proclaim the gospel, to fulfill our mission to make disciples of all nations out of Matthew 28. The early disciples, you know, from this Sunday on to Pentecost, they were still in fear of the Jews, but they would come together and they would pray for boldness to proclaim the word of God in all its fullness without wavering. They came before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and, well, they're probably hiding out most of the time, but certainly after Pentecost, that was the case. Boldness. So has your Sunday come today? Because it actually has. You just have to receive it. So you have a lotto ticket in your pocket. If you don't believe or if you do believe. If you don't believe, haven't laid your life down to Christ, you got a lotto ticket in your pocket today, you can come forward and redeem it. And say, I'm in. I'm cashing it. I'm redeeming it. And if you've already done that, but you want to refresh it, you can come forward and do that as well. And if we can just go to that last slide, not the second last, and just remember this, take this away. If you've listened to nothing I've said today, but the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead on Resurrection Sunday now lives in you if you believe. Romans 8:10-11. It's paraphrased. So I'm just going to call, probably, where's Kay? Do you want to, just some keys in the background. I'm not trying to do anything special here. I just, after a message like that, when an invitation, there needs to be an opportunity. And I pondered and prayed about this, but the point being, if we're not bold in here, we're not going to be bold out there. Yeah? I know it's tough, but I watched people be bold last Sunday that normally aren't bold. Manette, you were very bold last Sunday, and I know you don't want me to section you out. I didn't put her photo up, but I saw a lovely photo on Facebook of Manette coming up out of that water. That's pure joy. It's an awesome photo. She was bold. She spoke. She came forward. For some of us, it's harder than others. So as Kay just quietly plays in the background, you can probably turn that row of lights off again. Servant Simon. Again, I'm not trying to create anything mystical, but just bow your heads and pray. So, Lord, we just thank you that we do indeed share in your resurrection and your life. It's new life. Lord, I pray anyone's been touched today by your words. That there might be a response, Father. That today might be their son. Where they might get up out of their chairs and come to the front of this church. They're coming to you, not to me, not to the elders or the pastors or the prayers. They're just coming forward to you and you alone. So anyone in this church now that has never made Christ their Lord and Saviour, I'd implore you to, and he's knocking on the door of your heart, to come forward. As hard as that might be, if your heart's beating out of its chest, please be obedient to the call of God. And for anyone here who may have made a commitment recently or a long, long time ago, but just feels they need to reconnect and refresh with you, that they too would hop up out of their seats and come forward. Again, you're coming forward before the Lord. And I just ask the elders and the pastors and prayers that just to be ready. And if no one comes forth, that's fine. If you go home and you make a commitment to God, to Christ, that's great. Or you grab someone next to you, or you grab someone afterwards, or you go and talk to, if you're from another church or from another place, find someone. Is this your Sunday? So I'll just let Kay play a bit and I'll sit down. Thank you for coming. We do have hot cross buns and whatnot afterwards. Please be mindful if people do come forward of just the noise. We might open the doors and let you outside. We might even take the buns outside. So Lord, again, I just pray that you would seal your work this day. That Lord, if you're tapping on the heart of anyone here, that Lord, they would respond. Because it's between you and them. But Lord, I pray that seeds have been sown today. I pray that seeds have germinated today. And Lord, I pray for any seeds that have germinated many years ago, that today they might put themselves in the gardener's hands for some tending, some pruning, some training. Lord, we just thank you, praise you in Jesus' name.